Is there a handout? No.
Be handing out these speaker customers in case you guys have any questions or comments that we'd like to address. I'll be handing them out in presentation for you guys to flag me down in case I miss you.
Thank you. It is now 10:32. Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you all to the 2025-2026 Area Plan Update Public Hearing. Thank you for taking the time to be here and participate in this important part of our community planning process. Before we begin, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Elizabeth Breyer, and I'll be leading today's presentation and guiding us through the hearing. I'm with the Orange County Office on Aging, and I'll be your main point of contact during this session. Luis Garcia, Office on Aging, Data Specialist, who will be helping to collect your public comment request forms throughout the presentation. If you'd like to speak during the public comment portion, please be sure to get a form from Luis, fill it out, and return it to him at any time before the comment sessions begin. Now for a quick housekeeping items. This meeting is being recorded to ensure transparency and accuracy. The recording will be made available following the meeting and posted on our website at www.officeonaging.ocgov.com. Please make sure to sign in at the entrance if you haven't already. Your attendance helps us keep accurate records and follow up with any additional information you may need. Again, if you'd like to provide input, please fill out the public comment request form, which Luis can provide to you. We ask that you hold all questions and comments until the end of the presentation. This will allow us to move through the material efficiently and ensure everyone has a chance to be heard. Lastly, please silence your phones or any electronic devices to minimize disruptions. We appreciate your cooperation and look forward to your feedback. With that, let's begin. The Area Plan is a comprehensive document that Area Agencies on Aging, also known as AAAs, must develop every 4 years and submit to the California Department of Aging, also known as CDA, for approval. As the AAA for Orange County, the Orange County Office on Aging is responsible for administering programs and services to older adults, ensuring they have access to resources that support their well-being and independence. The Area Plan outlines the Orange County Office on Aging goals for service delivery, aligning with the priorities of the Older Americans Act and the needs of the local aging community. It includes a needs assessment, identifies service deliveries, and allocates funding for these services. The Area Plan is updated annually within the four-year cycle to ensure it remains responsive to changing community needs. Today's presentation will highlight key updates for the fiscal year 2025-2026, which is the first update of the four-year cycle. The final area plan will be submitted to CDA by May 1st, 2025. The 22 California Code of Regulations, Section 7308, requires area agencies on aging to hold a public hearing each year to present updates on the area plan and gather public feedback. The 2025-2026 area plan updates being discussed today are part of the first update in the current four-year plan cycle, providing an opportunity for the public to offer input on the plan services for older adults. The first key update is the population counts in Orange County. This slide provides an overview of both the demographic and economic status of older adults. The population of Orange County is 3,135,755, with 742,056 older adults age 60 and above. To highlight the ethnic breakdown, the 65 plus population count of 529,832 was used as the census does not provide an ethnic breakdown of the 60 plus population at this moment. The ethnic breakdown of older adults is as follows: white, non-Hispanic, 54.4%, Asian, 23.8%, Hispanic, Latino, 17.2%, Black, African-American, 1.2%, American Indian, Alaska Native, 0.6%. Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander, 0.2%. Two or more races or other, as defined by census, 10.2%. Additionally, 28% of older adults, approximately 140,000 individuals, experience economic insecurity and do not have enough income to meet their basic needs. This data was pulled from a combination of sources, including the State of California, Department of Finance, Census Bureau, and Justice and Aging, and Aging Publications. For the 2024-2028 area plan, the Community Assessment Survey for Older Adults, also known as CASOA, commissioned by the California Department of Aging, was utilized along with other existing data sources and feedback from the community partners. The CASOA served as a foundation for the development of the initial goals while we awaited the results of Orange County Older Adults Needs Assessment Survey, which were being analyzed at that time. In March 2025, the Orange County Older Adults Needs Assessment Report was finalized. The study included a total of 7,522 responses through three targeted surveys: the Aging Adult Community Survey, the Caregiver Survey, and the Paid Provider Survey. Key findings included aging health concerns related to Alzheimer's, arthritis, cancer, heart disease, and emotional well-being. The top two most desired services included transportation and in-home care. The cost of living and financial stress were top contributors to behavioral health and medical challenges. Top barriers of this assessing services include lack of information, appointments not available at convenient times, and high cost of co-pays. These findings underscore the ongoing need for improved outreach, education, and communication to ensure older adults are aware of and can access the services they need, which aligns with our current area plan goals and objectives. A service unit plan is a strategic framework used to define, measure, and manage the delivery of services, outlining the quantity within a given period, aligned with budget, resources, and operational goals. The evaluation of service utilization from July 1st, 2022 to June 30th, 2024 provided an opportunity to assess service demand. In response to recent evaluations and shifting service trends, the service units presented in the next three slides have been adjusted to better reflect current demand, resource capacity, and funding realities. These updates account for increased service delivery costs, budget constraints, and fluctuations in demand, ensuring alignment with both community needs and operational capacity. As a result, the units in adult day services, caregiver respite services, case management, chore services, congregate meals, long-term care community education, elder abuse prevention services, health promotion, home delivered meals, information and assistance, outreach, public information, and residential modifications have been reduced to better reflect current needs. The units in cash material aid, disaster preparedness materials, homemaker, personal care, senior center activities, long-term care residential council meetings, and long-term care information and assistance for facility staff and for individuals have increased. The Office on Aging remains committed to its core goals, with meaningful progress made in the fiscal year 24-25. As we move into the next fiscal year, we will continue building on these goals to enhance service delivery and outcomes. Goal number one is to inform and educate. In fiscal year 24-25, we successfully launched the Office on Aging monthly newsletter to keep older adults, caregivers, and the community informed and engaged. Goal number two is to coordinate services and strengthen partnerships. In fiscal year 24-25, the Orange County Older Adults Advisory Commission invited subject matter experts to their executive meetings as consultants, allowing for enhanced collaboration. For example, through this new initiative, the Office on Aging provided an in-service training to help identify older adults in need of services and connected vector control staff with resources to assist individuals. This innovative approach introduced by OAC has provided an opportunity to strengthen our partnerships. Goal number three is to enhance service quality. In fiscal year 24-25, we implemented customer satisfaction to the elderly nutrition program participants to gather feedback and guide improvements in service delivery. Goal number four was revised from supporting the Master Plan on Aging initiative to taking the lead in the development of the Orange County Master Plan on Aging, in which we are on track to release by June 30th, 2025. These key accomplishments demonstrate our continued dedication to serving older adults with transparency, quality, and strategic vision. Public comments on the area plan update will be accepted until 5 p.m. today, April 24th, 2025. Comments can be emailed to the area AG at occr.ocgov.com. The final draft will be available at officeonaging.ocgov.com on or after May 1st, 2025. To request a copy of this presentation, please email us at areaagencyonaging@occr.ocgov.com. Before we open the floor for public comments and questions, a quick reminder, if you have not yet signed in, please do so before you leave today. If you prefer to submit your comment or questions in writing, public comment forms are available at the back of the room or less than 10 pounds. When verbally sharing your comment or asking a question, please state your name and the organization you represent, if applicable, for the record. We will now open the floor for public comments and our questions related to today's presentation on the 2025-2026 Area Plan Update. You want to do verbal comments, questions first? You can.
My name is Ruth. I'm the director of collaborative programs at the Dell Macintosh Center. I noticed in the plan, or you know, in this PowerPoint, I don't see anything involving housing. So, as we are actually co-partners of the Office on Aging for the Orange County ADRC, I would say housing is one of our most commonly requested services, especially within our older adult community. As many older adults are on fixed incomes or receiving social security, and cost of living continue to rise every year, the number of calls that we're getting from our older adults is just way beyond anything that any organization can manage. And so looking in through this PowerPoint, I'm a little concerned that there's not really anything about housing support, whether that's more affordable housing, whether it's even vouchers to prevent homelessness. Many of our homeless assistance supports require an individual to be homeless for at minimum a year within the last 3 years. We're trying to prevent that from happening.
Right.
So we don't want to require people to be homeless or to be put themselves in a situation just to qualify for services. And so first comment, or I guess question would be, is there any movement or any intention to include housing as some of these, you know, important initiatives or needs? I'm surprised it wasn't captured in the needs assessment.
Right. So I don't have details on the needs assessment, but what I can share is that our area plan is directly funded through state CDA, California Department of Aging, and those funding sources don't include housing as an opportunity to provide services within the Office on Aging. However, we do have a housing community development unit within the county And I can't speak for them, but that will be something that you may want to look into. And we definitely do partner with them. So I will be taking your comment and sharing it with them.
Great, I appreciate that. And just a couple more things here.
Yes.
I'll open up the floor for everyone else. So I also noticed transportation and in-home care was a need, which we absolutely agree with. I know that typically there is non-emergency medical transportation available through their coverage, whether that's Medi-Cal or Medicare. But as far as in-home care goes, that's only for Medi-Cal recipients. And as we know, you know, majority of our older adult population is typically on Medicare or receiving Medicare benefits. I wonder if there is any, if we might know of anything of Medicare potentially opening up, you know, IHSS or a similar type of in-home support service for Medicare recipients.
I don't have a response to that. I don't know.
And then similar in that token for the transportation, again, since we have access to non-emergency medical transport, but a big piece, I think, of transportation that's missing is for our social things, you know, for our older adults to be able to utilize transportation and get to, you know, a friend or family or what have you, to especially prevent and eliminate isolation and things like this. We know that there's so much benefit for help with your well-being and your, you know, social needs,
right,
are that as well. And so I just wanted to make a comment. I think it would be awesome if there was some more kind of funding or something put towards senior transportation that's not medically related. So just a comment there. And
yeah,
then the last thing, I swear. So I see that there's accessibility services under that section that showed like it was a lack of information or like, you know, inconvenient appointment times and things of that nature. As we work with an independent living center, we specialize in the disability community and the older adult community. Looking at those kind of lack of info or appointment times, absolutely, but a huge thing that we come across is accommodations. For example, Social Security, that's a huge agency that many people are constantly trying to get in touch with, but that system is not accessible, especially for our older adult community or people with disabilities. When you're waiting on the phone for 5 hours or you're talking to a recording or even really the only way to get in touch sometimes is to walk in and many people are turned away, they don't have an appointment. But these big kind of government benefits like Social Security, is there's so many barriers just to try and access that service, especially for individuals who are already receiving it. They have to kind of qualify or recertify, but, you know, sending that mail to the home and things for individuals with vision-related disabilities, it's really difficult for them, and many end up losing their benefits or not able to respond to changes that are happening to their benefits. And so I wonder if there's any movement or, you know, part of that accessibility services is actually not just like a lack of info or inconvenient appointment times, but even just not an accessible system or process. And I know that goes for like IHSS and all those other things. That's a big part of what we do at the Delta Touch Center, is actually help them even just get through the application process. Because if you're blind or if you're deaf or if, you know, there's a million disabilities that could really make it, basically they end up waiving the service or end up not even moving forward with it. They go through the process, they're stuck in it for forever, and then they end up just going without the services and supports that they need. And so I really just would love to make a comment about the accessible system or the accessible process of these supports that are supposed to be available, especially Social Security, which is something that they've worked and earned into,
right,
to create a more kind of accommodating process so that the system itself is not a barrier, especially for the people with disabilities and older adults whose Social Security is made for.
Yeah. Right, thank you. I appreciate your comments.
Yeah.
This information will be taken back to the office to see what kind of, you know, initiatives or, you know, support we can bring to that. I do want to go back to your comment on transportation. We do have a program, a regular transportation program. However, it's lightly funded, so it's not a big program, but one of the things that we use that program for is to help seniors go to the senior centers for consult, meals and other social activities. So hopefully we can expand that program, but you know, that's something that we'll look into.
Sure. And is that Agrizot, like, or which trust we can share that?
We contract with Meals on Wheels.
Right here.
And with Meals on Wheels and Age Well for that transportation service. And I believe they do contract some of those services with Avrazar. So you
can thank you so much.
You're welcome. Are there any other questions, comments?
So I'm Rachel Owens. I actually serve on the board of the Older Adults Advisory Commission. Yeah, I've got to change things all the time. So on slide two, you indicated that we have 148,000 seniors in the community who are not able to make their income or they don't have adequate income. What is that level that the county uses them to determine that? And what kind of barrier, I think along the lines here, of my biggest frustration from working on this commission has been there are so many different programs with so many different income levels associated with them that there's just no consistency and the public can't possibly know how to access all of this because those services are, one takes 100% of federal poverty, one's 138, some is a combination of your total household income. So that's a very frustrating kind of piece and needs, I think, recognition by the county needs to be made that our services need to have some kind of consistent level. Meals on Wheels is different than many of the programs from the ARC, right? And then at the city levels, the cities make up their own, and there just does not seem to be any county leadership in some of these areas. And that comes back to asking specifically what, so I would like to see the final report say, these were our goals and the actual action items, but priorities have changed and shifted, and we are moving resources to A, B, C, D with these action items. And I know you know it drives me crazy not to see these things. So there's my public comments. Thank you.
Thank you. I do want to address that that data point that you pointed out is approximately 28% of older adults experience economic insecurity, which comes out to 148,000. So that was the data point that you were referring to.
What is that income level? Is that income level based on federal poverty level, a percentage over and above federal poverty level? What does the county use when we determine that? Which then circles back to my whole piece of this program has this poverty level, this program has that this one over here has that. And it doesn't make a lot of sense. And I'd like to see the county office provide leadership at the state level that makes all of these grants and the inconsistency there makes it difficult to administrate, doesn't it? Right. And nonsensical to the public.
Right. So this data point was pulled from the census. I would have to go back and really and look at which percentage we pulled for this one. For this particular data point, I do understand the frustration with the different requirements for different programs, and I understand the need for consistency across all programs. However, those are state requirements, and what we can do at the county level is advocate for consistency.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Brianna Hatter. I'm also with the Dale McIntosh Center. So I noticed for your service plan, one of the first bullet points was inform and educate through a newsletter. What kind of media is that? Is that through like a digital platform or is that through like specifically mailing to addresses? How is that newsletter going to look like? Just because for some of our consumers, maybe they may not have like technology, like I guess like, what's the word, like they may not have the technology. Yeah, they may not have the technology to receive that newsletter, or if they don't even know that they can sign up for the newsletter. So where exactly are you distributing that information for them to sign up for the newsletter? And what kind of media? Is it a physical kind or is it a digital space?
The newsletter was just launched last year. So July 2024 was our first release. And at this moment, we only have the digital form. You know, depending on what budget looks like for next, you know, fiscal years, then we'll look into further expanding and looking at different outreach accessibilities.
And then I have a follow-up
yes.
to that. So in the languages provided, is that only in English or are there different languages?
At this moment, yes. It's only in English.
It's only in English.
Yes.
Okay.
However, OAC did get the Office on Aging and the county and the supervisors focused on revitalizing the written brochure. It's much cleaner and it comes in 7 languages now.
Correct, correct.
And we actually answered the phone. It doesn't get some phone tree to various standard places. Right. So
correct. So the brochure that she's talking about is this one. It's separate from the newsletter, but we do have this information in other languages accessible to the public as well. You want a copy? Any other questions, comments? So, to go to your point here, so stay connected with the Orange County Office on Aging for information and assistance or to connect with our services, call us at the 714-480-6450 number, visit theofficeonaging.ocgov.com, or email us at the Area Agency on Aging at occr.ocgov.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram for updates and resources. And to subscribe to our monthly newsletter, you can simply scan the QR code provided here. And then we'll leave that on there. But so that we appreciate your time, input, and continued support in shaping services for older adults in our community. And I thank you for your participation. And this concludes our public meeting.
Thank you.